The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Stephen St. John and Nate Picati, the Drake Jason Justice. It's Thursday, December 2nd, 2021. And now we have Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com in studio. What's up, Jeff? How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Not as good as you. That was...
It's a good week.
Just, well, you tell me. What were your emotions? What did it feel like to watch that game play out? Not just beating Ohio State, but knowing that that very well could have you in the college football playoffs.
Yeah, have me? Yeah.
Yeah, you out there in the middle of it.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, it was funny because Michigan's basketball team played last night, and they got blown out by North Carolina by 22, and I was like,
no one cares.
I don't care.
Right. That's exactly right.
Hey, that's the great thing about college basketball, too, is that doesn't matter anyway.
That's what happens. When football's good, like, I don't care.
Who cares?
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Or if football's terrible, like, oh, I like basketball. I do like college basketball. But when they both suck, like, oh, screw college sports. I like the NFL.
Right in that way. You know what? I was watching with a friend of mine, Tony DeFeo, and Marcus Edwards, who's Herm Edwards' son, mm-hmm. We're over at Iron Horse Bar. And it was only like a handful of people in there watching it, but it was, they had the sound up. And it was, and I watched it. I knew when they came down the tunnel, it was game over. Like, sometimes you can watch a game and you know, all right, this is going to be our day. This is no matter what. The first drive, you knew once they started pounding them, it was like.
What about that first pick, though? That almost felt like,
Yeah, I was a little nervous then. But you know what? I told a lot of people that I've never seen, you know, I grew up in Ann Arbor, watched a lot of Michigan football games as a kid. I've never seen fans rush the field in that stadium. And so that tells you what it meant to a lot of people. And not just, I think not just beating Ohio State, but to have that kind of victory setting up what you just talked about, setting up, you know, college football playoff, Big Ten championship, all those things being in play. And even watching that to me was the more enjoyable part, was just seeing everybody realize this program has been humbled, gone through some hard times. I was amazed by how many people, and you were one of them, texted me. Nate actually texted me during the game, who were texting me, who were watching it and excited and enjoying it. So
I just texted you a picture of him hugging. Remember Harbaugh hugging his assistant coaches?
Yeah, might be down. Yeah.
You know.
That was a serious hug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of love, and there was a lot of a release. You're like, finally, because he's heard it all.
Oh, yeah.
He's heard it all.
Oh, yeah.
So just to show you how everything comes back to the Border Patrol, Stephen, the reason, the thing that caused me to text Jeff was during, you know, they play bump music going into commercial breaks, and Michigan was up, and they played the song that Jake always plays as Jeff's intro music. Mm-hmm. On this show, that Universal Mind Control song by Common that we always hear when Jeff Chedia. Every time I hear that song now, I think of Jeff because I'm like, oh, it sounds like Jeff Chedia is about to come on the show. And they played it as a bump music on the broadcast to commercial break. And I was like, well, this is an omen for Jeff right here. This is all about him. Yeah, he's going to win.
Because he knows I didn't text you till it was over. I'm not going to. I will not be responsible for any jinx. I've had people text me too early. Don't you do that. This game, still, you know, it was over by that time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I texted him what I think Nate, after halftime, they went 3-and-out. Ohio State went 3-and-out. Michigan came down 3 runs in the end zone. I said, ass beating about to start right here.
Are you?
Yeah, it did.
It's coming.
Now, just be honest now. Okay, because you got past that roadblock in Ohio State. Are you nervous at all? Because if you lose to Iowa, then that could cost you your spot. Are you nervous about this game, or is this going to be an ass kicking? And you're good.
I feel good about it, but I'm not like you said. You watch so many sports over your lifetime that you just know that you try to appreciate each moment as it comes. So
someone's getting upset this weekend. Thanks to going to the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I feel good just knowing. Look, I think Ohio State was the best team in the Big Ten all year. The way Michigan beat them, I doubt that. You're going to see a letdown at this point. I think just as, you know, when the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl, I think you that year you knew that they sensed the importance of the opportunity and then they weren't going to be denied. I see the same thing with Michigan. And in fact, I see it setting up nicely because you're not going into a college football playoff if you win the Big Ten championship where you're taking on – Alabama at its peak or Clemson at its peak. You're seeing teams that you can beat, and one team that might be in there who doesn't have a head coach.
Right. Well, it could be no, but I'm rooting for it to be, because I want something different. You know, I want Oklahoma State, I want Michigan, I want Cincinnati, and then Georgia. And, like, it does seem wide open, but I will say that there's a chance that Georgia, because they've given up less than 7 points a game, we could look back and say, oh, Georgia had one of the best defenses in the last 25 years. But who knows? They might get upset by Alabama this weekend. We don't know.
Somebody made a great point about Georgia, that the only close game they played was their first one against Clemson, which ended up being a down Clemson team, and it was a defensive fight. So I think, look, anything can happen the way this year has played out, I think, in the NFL and college football. But, yeah, it was certainly enjoyable to watch it play out on Saturday, because I was like, man, this is I can't believe this is – I'm watching hundreds of thousands of people rush the field at Michigan Stadium.
Okay, so now you've had your moment in the sun. Now let's talk about the Chiefs and their march back to the Super Bowl. that's how it works around here. Very, very excited. Out of the spot, I took a few days off to gear up, to get ready. Very excited about this stretch against the AFC West, because it's been fun to win the AFC West by 3 or 4 games. Actually, I'd prefer it. But it is also fun to have all these teams in it, and to have all these games in December with meaning, not just the Chargers, but the Broncos and the Raiders. And I'm going Sunday. I'm going to go to the Raiders game as well. But Adam Kaplan he kind of took a dump on the Chargers, right? He dismissed them. It sounds like he's done with the Chargers and their defense and everything else, right?
Yeah.
And so, and he thinks it's the Chiefs are going to eventually just pull away, and they're going to do this over the next 3 weeks. Shockingly, I think that as well. So the Chiefs right now are in first place. Of the three that they're going to face over the next 3 weeks, they're all a game behind them. Who's the number one contender there?
Raiders.
Is it still the Raiders?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the way they played on Thanksgiving, the impact DeSean Jackson now has on that offense, which I suspected would happen once he started getting more acclimated to what they're doing over there. Just having a deep threat changes the way that offense plays. And you saw it against Dallas.
And they're better than the Chargers.
Yeah, I think they're better overall. The Chargers have more talent. The problem with the Chargers is not playing good defense.
Right.
And so if they can get back to playing good defense, and I will counsel you to remember, it's not too long ago they were talking about a team locally not playing good defense and then finding a way to play good defense.
That's the past. That's ancient history. I don't even remember what you're talking
about.
And
so, yeah, look, Adam Kaplan can have his opinion, but my thing is I'm not going to write off anybody at this stage. it's just too foolish, and I've done it a couple times. Even with this team, I've done it a couple times. And it's dangerous, because the way the NFL is going, anybody can right their ship in an instant. And you've seen it with the Bengals being hot, then being down, and then getting hot again. You've seen it here. You look at the Colts, the Patriots, this team, they were all under 500. Now they're all in contention for playoff spots or competing for division titles. Look at Miami. Miami Dolphins lost 7 straight games. They were 1-7. They conceivably could end up 10-7. And so, you know, the Chargers have been up and down, but when they're up, they're pretty impressive. And they're going to you're right. I think the AFC West could be decided in the next 3 weeks, because the Chiefs are going to play the Broncos, Raiders, Chargers back-to-back-to-back. But I think all those teams are feeling like they have an opportunity to do something big here. And so I don't think it's what it was last year or year before, where they're looking up at the Chiefs and saying, how can we beat this team? I think they're all saying what the Chiefs are saying. We've gone through some tough times. We're still in contention. Why not us?
And you talk about, you know, new blood and different teams and other teams that could still turn things around. But then I always put my faith in coaches and teams that have done it before. And then you look at the standings, well, there's Belichick and the Patriots now, right? Followed by the Bills. There's the Ravens on top. There's the Titans on top with the Colts behind them. And then there's the Chiefs on top. And so, yes, the Chargers, Broncos, and Raiders are there, but they're, you do, don't you put a little more stock in teams and coaches that have gone through this and done this?
Yeah, I mean, look, the teams I trust right now in the AFC
trust
are the teams you just mentioned. I trust New England, Buffalo, the Ravens, the Titans, and the Chiefs. I trust that those five teams will find a way to get in the playoffs, you know, no matter how it stacks up, whether either as wild cards or division champions. And then you've got a handful of teams that are vying for those other two spots. That includes the Bengals. That includes the Dolphins to be in there on the edge of it. But they've got a really favorable schedule down the stretch here. Got the Jets and the Giants and some other, the Titans. They got some teams that are offensively challenged coming up. And then I would put the Raiders, the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Colts in that mix, where you've got and the Browns. And so you've got seven teams there that are all playing for something. And the thing about this time of year, usually those kind of teams are starting to fade and guys are tapping out and they're just not interested in playing, so you're getting some easy wins. Now with a 17-game schedule, all these teams are still playing each other, beating up on each other and playing games that matter for real consequences. And so that makes it different as well. So I think, yeah, this time of year you would say, yeah, those five teams at the top would be pulling away just because they're better coached and they got more experience and more talent. But ultimately they're also playing teams that want to win and get playoff spots as well.
Man, I was watching the end of that Ravens-Browns game, and it reminded me of watching – The Chiefs in the mid-90s, like 95, 96, 97, yeah. Where, and Nate, you'll remember this, the defense is giving up 14 points, 17 points, and they're on the side, and they're watching the offense just not do nothing, and they're looking at each other like, you know, right? Yeah, yeah. And watching that game, the Browns defense played well enough to win. They intercepted Lamar Jackson four times.
And Lamar Jackson outplayed the quarterback.
And Baker, and every time the offense, and they kept showing Myles Garrett on the sideline. And then that last drive where the Browns had a chance, but you knew they really didn't have a chance. And the look on his face, and you could see him talking to the look on all the defenders' faces. I remember those looks from 90s Chiefs players, from Derek Thomas, Neil Smith, and Joe Phillips, and guys like that looking at you like, are you kidding me? And it's they had that, the Browns had that look. Are you kidding me? I mean Baker Mayfield. I know he's hurt and he's banged up. Good God.
Yeah. Well, and look, I wrote this in my column a few weeks ago that defense is going to decide who wins this Super Bowl, this championship this year. It's you're looking at so many offenses around the league, and three, 4 years ago it was all about offense. It was all about young quarterbacks and offensive minds, and everybody was scoring 30 points a game and putting up huge numbers. And now you're seeing across the league, all these offenses are starting to really struggle. And that's because you're seeing more defenses that are getting more sophisticated. You're seeing better defensive talent show up. We mentioned Georgia. That's indicative of what's happening. What's happening in college football is indicative of what's happening in the NFL, what's coming to the NFL. You're seeing more defenses being able to, once again, contain and control and stifle these offenses. And so if you're not playing good defense, which is why the Chiefs should feel good about what they're doing, you don't really have a chance, because that's the only way you're really going to sustain any kind of success. And you look at the teams who have been getting on winning streaks, what's the commonality? New England, the Chiefs, the Dolphins right now, the Packers, the Cardinals, they've been playing good defense.
So listen to this, Nate. And Jeff, I saw this tweet yesterday. Most points allowed weeks 1 through 5, first 5 weeks of the season. Chiefs, no surprise, they're number one. 163 points allowed in the first 5 weeks. Washington was second. Dolphins were third. Fewest points allowed since then. The Chiefs, number one, 87. Patriots, number two, 98. That's in 7 games. And then number three, the Seahawks. But then the Dolphins have turned it around. They've given up 125 since then, you know, in a lot more games, as opposed to 154 in the first 5 weeks. But the Chiefs, they gave up more points than anyone in the first 5 weeks, and now they've allowed the fewest points in the NFL since week 6.
No.
I mean, that's, but as bad as they were in the first 5 weeks, and as many reasons as I've given, the linebackers weren't healthy, they weren't playing Thornhill, Frank Clark wasn't healthy, they didn't have Melvin Ingram yet, Chris Jones was out, Tarvarius Ward was out, all those reasons, right? That's still shocking, because that looked like one of the worst defenses I've ever seen in my life.
They weren't good at anything.
Yeah, like what you know, and now they're not just average, they're playing really, really well. No one anticipated that, really.
No, and no one hates to hear this, but they've gotten some breaks along the way. You know, like I said, Aaron Rodgers not playing.
I don't want to hear that, Jeff.
The Cowboys losing some players. I mean, so that helps. End of the day, like when the year's over, no one's going to remember that stuff.
Right, but like I said, the Chiefs were missing all those players in the first place. No, nobody wants to hear that.
But again, the point I'm making is, look at the Cowboys. You know,
I don't want to. I have to watch them tonight. I don't want to look at the Cowboys.
Look at the Raiders playing the Cowboys, and either the Raiders benefited from the Cowboys not having players on the field, or that was a huge statement win by the Raiders. So it's either one or the other. And ultimately, all these teams in the NFL, my takeaway is that every contender is going to go through what the Chiefs went through.
But I thought that was a big statement win because you remember last week? I thought they were done. I thought the Raiders were done.
Yeah.
They surprised me.
Yeah. And the reason I thought they weren't was because the Cowboys were going into that game without some key players available. And I think that's going to be the case for a lot of teams moving forward. But every contender is going to have their rocky road. The Chiefs, now I feel like the Chiefs may have had theirs at the start of the year. But you look at what the Rams, I was in Green Bay for the Rams game. And the Rams looked like they have not a clue about how to win games again. You know, they were 7-1 and riding high, thinking we're going to host the Super Bowl. And now it's like,
don't get mad at me if I say something.
What's that?
Stafford looks like he's back in Detroit.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah. and that's what it looks like. And you know, the Bills, you know, they were riding high, and they've had some tough losses. You know, we mentioned the Chargers; they were kind of the flavor of the month for a while there, and now they've had their issues, the Bengals. And so all these teams are – it's sometimes it's easier to forget that the NFL is like an organism. It's going to constantly mutate and evolve, and it can mutate into something really ugly and toxic and poisonous, and it can mutate into something really beautiful and brilliant and exciting. And so I think what we're watching is just the sausage being made. It's not pretty sometimes. But end of the day,
it's delicious.
It tastes good at the end, right?
Sorry.
It tastes good
sausage
at the end, right?
Might not be good for your waistline.
That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing all these teams that we want to make these grand proclamations about who's this and who's out and who's not good, who's falling apart, and then we play another week of football and it's totally different.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what to add to that. And by the way, you'd rather be, I think, like the Chiefs and have those problems early, you know, and be getting healthy and playing well late. But with this 17-game schedule, it's not as late as it feels. Mm-hmm. That's kind of I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch because every team has either played 11 or 12 games now, and you're getting into December, and you're usually thinking to yourself, okay, we're the last quarter of the season. We're coming down the home stretch now. Everybody's got 5 or 6 games left still.
Yep.
So there's a lot of there's a lot of things that can still happen, you know, in terms of injuries and that.
Including injuries. Number one thing that can happen. Number one thing that can happen is injuries. And let's not forget, Chiefs lost Eric Fisher in the AFC Championship game.
Oh, let's not forget that
Buffalo Bills just lost an all-pro corner.
Yep. Notice the smile escaped my face right there.
Watching that Seahawks game, does anybody think Russell Wilson is right? Physically,
I didn't watch the game.
So oh my God! It was you. Yeah. Good for you because it was a terrible game. Mm-hmm. It came down to the end, and there was an exciting finish. But I've never seen the Seahawks offense look so terrible. And he's missing throws. There's no confidence out there. And I'm sure there's a lot more going on with the Seahawks than just his physical, you know, injuries and stuff. But we talk about Baker Mayfield and Russell Wilson. These are two quarterbacks that have proven to at least be competent that look completely ineffective right now. And it just goes back to your point, like you're one hit away, you're one injury away from everything that we're talking about changing.
Yeah, I've never seen a season where so many star players are going down or getting, you know, with Dallas it's COVID. But you're seeing like big name players across the league just either playing hurt, playing with significant injuries, or just out. And I don't think any team's immune to that. And that, again, right. is the danger of – I know everybody, the owners love the 17 games because of the money that comes from it, but the attrition is just going to be crazy. And again, you're playing meaningful games in Week 17. Now, there's not a team in the league that's not going to be playing a meaningful game. Like, we're used to hear just, okay, the Chargers come in, the Raiders come in, it's resting the starters. And it's that's not happening this year. And so when that's not happening, you got to put guys out there in harm's way. And somebody's going to be impacted by it. Look at the Tennessee Titans offense right now.
It's to me, like, their run, like, they looked like they were the best team in the AFC. Lose one guy, and I don't give them a chance to make a run in the playoffs at all. They might get to the playoffs because of their division, but that team's, I mean.
They lost, I mean, the best player at his position in football, and if you were ever going to make an argument for a running back to be an MVP candidate, it would be him. So there's questions whether or not they can bounce back. Yeah. Vrabel's a hell of a coach, but boy, they look like they're in.
How about the Ravens? Yeah. Yeah, how about the Ravens? Leading the AFC, top seed the AFC right now. They've got like 12 guys on injured reserve, like legitimate all-pro players. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, can they sustain this? Because they're relying on
look at where they got these running backs. It's like every argument that anyone's ever been made about you don't need to draft running backs, you can get them anywhere. The Ravens said, let us show you. Mm-hmm. Like Kaplan said, and I credit Devontae Freeman on my fantasy team. He couldn't find a job anywhere. People say he should retire. Now you watch him, he looks like, oh, boy, this guy, you know.
I will say that's a big case for Lamar Jackson as to how valuable he is.
I mean, right now the MVP would be Brady or versus Rodgers, but he might end up with 4,000 yards and 1,000 rushing yards.
Right.
No one's ever done that. He's carrying that team.
Who are the best running backs going into the season? Where's Derrick Henry right now? Where's Christian McCaffrey right now? Where's Saquon Barkley right now?
Yeah.
These guys get used and abused, and they done, right?
Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, it's
Dalvin
it's
Cook's had his injury problems. I mean, these guys.
It's amazing.
You know, yeah,
it's just a reminder that I mean, you know, it's there's such a short shelf life, and for some of those guys, they can't even get out of their first contract.
Yep.
Without becoming
Zeke.
Yep. Same thing. So we've got Jeff Chedia in studio, NFL Network and NFL.com. We'll be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, Jeff, the Denver Broncos. You spent some time around that team in the preseason. They have a good defense. They have weapons on offense. They have not figured out their quarterback situation, and that's that. To me, it's kind of two big things: the head coach and the quarterback kind of holding them back. What do you expect to see on Sunday night at Arrowhead Stadium? And by the way, what game are you going to this weekend?
I'll be at Arrowhead.
Yeah,
that's a bad.
Well, I'll be there
it's
too.
A bad week.
Let's get together.
When that game is the Sunday night game, gets flexed into it. It's a bad week.
And you know what helped them though too? They flexed before. The Broncos beat up the Chargers. That made it at least look a little bit better. Because I thought, they flexed that, and the Broncos are going to be coming off a loss to the Chargers. And then they won 28-30. They go, oh.
They've been one good game this week.
Right.
That's the Monday night game.
Right. You know what? The Chargers and Bengals, I'd be here for that. I'd like to watch that.
That's the second best.
I'm still getting used to that, but I'd like to watch that. But, of course, you know, I want Chiefs, baby.
Well, you mentioned the Bengals. The only reason they're... The Broncos aren't the Bengals because they don't have Joe Burrow playing for them. It's basically the same team with one team has a young quarterback they like and the other team's got a quarterback situation that's a mess. And so, look, the Broncos are interesting because they have a lot of elements that could make them really formidable. They're kind of beat up, but, you know, they are dangerous when they can run the football. And they can run it well behind that offensive line, and that rookie Javonte Williams is good. I don't know what Melvin Gordon's situation is. I know he's been banged up the last couple weeks, but that's how they beat Dallas. That's how they beat up on the Chargers. That's probably what they're going to try to do when they come in here. Offensively, they are as hard to watch as any team in the NFL. It's just painful to watch them play on that side of the football, but. You know, the Chiefs should win this game fairly easily, I would imagine. But the way this season has gone, it would not surprise me just because somehow, some way, the Broncos are still 6-5 and trying to put themselves in a position to get in the playoffs.
Three of their wins, like early on, because of the strength of schedule, but they shocked me the way they beat Dallas. And I'm telling you, I had zero expectation that they were going to beat the Chargers, but that's also more of a statement of how I think disappointing the Chargers have been lately. Yeah. And not just their defense, but Herbert has been up and down. Yeah. And so I didn't think they were going to be – there's no way I had them at 6-5 at this point. And you're right, it does – it kind of feels like smoke and mirrors, but they do have a good defense. They do have good weapons. But, man, it's hard to get over that quarterback thing.
Well, and just as the Chiefs have learned this, winning ugly is still winning. And
that's
so
right.
If you're able to drag any team into the kind of game that, you know, the Chiefs played against Green Bay, for example, or against the Giants, where it was just like my friend Bob Glauber calls it a rock fight. You know, you just sort of – yeah, it's not really about how talented you are, just about who can withstand the other person, like a cage match almost, then you have a chance. And the Broncos have very much embraced the idea of winning ugly, winning the way the Ravens won against Cleveland. And, again, if this was last year or a couple years ago, you'd say there's no way. They can't score enough points. They can't do this or that or whatever, but you get a couple friendly bounces, you get some sacks, you get some turnovers, then all of a sudden you're playing a 13-10 game. And that's I don't think that will happen, but I certainly don't think it will be outside the realm of possibility for this kind of team. And I think one thing I'm excited to see with all these games the Chiefs are going to play coming down a stretch in the AFC West over the next 3 weeks is just, you know, how do all these teams measure up? You know, that's really the biggest question. We've seen them all have their own twists and turns and roller coaster rides, but now they're going to play each other, you know, all and that. Other teams, the Raiders and the Broncos will play each other, the Chargers, whoever, they're all going to play each other. So we're going to find out who's the best. But I think they all are kind of in that same boat of, if you're grading teams throughout the entire AFC, you'd probably say the highest graded team would be a 90. I don't think there's any A pluses, A's out there. And then the lowest graded would probably be like a 79 or a 78. And so it depends on how they're playing, who's injured, as to – you know, what kind of product they put on the field. But ultimately, the Chiefs obviously have the best chance of pulling through all this.
Let's quit beating around the bush here. You said the Chiefs are going to win. You think the good possibility they win fairly easily. Giving up 9.5 points easily? I mean, that's just a hypothetical, and certainly I'm not going to, as far as you know, but 9.5?
Does Jake Jake could have this number, but how many times have the Chiefs covered over the last 2 years? It's been pretty rare, right?
I'm just trying to focus on Sunday night.
Yeah,
man.
I don't think it's going to be 9.5. I think it'll be closer. I think it'll be something like 21-13.
Whoa, that is
something right like there. That. Like a one all score right. game where it's just a 2-point conversion could swing it. But I just don't see. And that's really the bigger question I want to see with the Chiefs coming out of the bye week is just what kind of offense are they going to put on the field?
Yeah,
because that is. That's what's going to separate them from everybody else. That's the only thing that keeps me from saying this team is going to run through, get on a really good run here and get back a deep playoff run, because they just haven't done that yet. And so, but it goes back to what I was saying about all the offenses around the NFL right now. I just think it's just an epidemic of just offensive droughts and people struggling to put things together and teams figuring out how to play these high-powered offenses.
The Chiefs at least have the capacity to do it. The Broncos are not going to do that with that quarterback situation. That's not a possibility. We'll take a break. More with Jeff Chedia after this on WHB. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com to the studio. All right, Jeff, won't spend too much time on this game because I'm sick of seeing both of these teams on TV. Cowboys at Saints. Taysom Hill makes his triumphant return as quarterback. Here he is to earn all that money to show, I don't know what he's going to show.
Why he's getting all that money.
Or show why he shouldn't be, whatever. Who wins this game? I'm trying to figure this one out.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those. I think Dallas has to find a way to win this game, even with all their issues. I mean, they just can't afford to. I don't say it's a must-win game for them, but you lose 3 out of 4 games, you got to start winning again.
Right.
And so even without their head coach and all those guys who have COVID and Mari Cooper coming back and he might not be 100%, I think they find a way to win it just because the Saints are such a mess. Even with Taysom Hill playing quarterback, offensively, they don't have a lot to work with. They've had injuries on the offensive line, and Kamara's been banged up. I just feel like they're starting to fade a little bit, and the Cowboys have to have some juice.
Is he a good quarterback?
No,
you think Taysom Hill?
No. I think he's a good. What's the right word? Changeup. He's the kind of guy you can throw in there. It's hard to game plan for that kind of physicality at the position, but you put him in there for 60, 70 snaps, and it's not going to be pretty. You put him in there for 20, he can be effective.
Why do they pay him so much?
That's a good question.
I mean, just on your
as opposed to other people down there, right? When it's a salary cap nightmare. Well, I think Sean Payton sees it as, again, there's, I think the NFL is starting to trend more towards this, what you saw the Ravens do with Lamar Jackson. You're seeing the Eagles do it with Jalen Hurts. It's a weapon when you have a quarterback who can run. And if you can scheme up certain things for him and you can limit his impact on the game in a negative way, it's a powerful tool. I mean, you really can't argue about it. He was great for them when he was just the guy who came in for Drew Brees for a few snaps and just ran the Wildcat or just threw him the football. You can just, formation-wise, you can put a lot of things on tape and really cause defensive coordinators a lot of trouble. So that's the value, but it's not worth, you know, keeping him around forever and paying him millions of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, I think the quarterback situation with the Saints hasn't been good. I wasn't a believer in Jameis Winston. I'm not a believer in Taysom Hill as a full-time guy. But it does go to your point that I think actually what you're saying right now makes what's happening with Mac Jones in New England that much more interesting. Because to me, it seems that the evolution of the quarterback position has gone to, it used to be you were either a running quarterback or a throwing quarterback, and now most guys can do both.
Yeah.
Most guys are expected to be complete quarterbacks when they come out. I mean, you look at Burrow and Herbert and all these guys, they might not be run first guys, but they can run, you know, and to see Mac Jones, it's like there can still be a relatively unathletic pocket passer back there, just kind of taking the checkdowns and moving the team down the field.
Yeah, but you see what they give him to work with, too,
yep.
And what they run.
Yep.
Let's get two athletic tight ends in here. Let's get some shifty receivers who can run a lot of crossing routes and get open quickly. They're not really...
Let's have a great defense, so you don't have to put too much on him.
Great defense, play great special teams. They're not. If he was playing in the Chiefs' offense, it would be a different...
Different
outcome altogether. Like, I don't see him stretching the field to Tyreek Hill. I don't see him having the kind of opportunities to make those kind of plays with option routes. It's just a different vibe. But they've worked well with him, and they've played to his strengths.
All right, let's get into some interesting games here. It's not a great slate, but there are a few compelling games. Chargers, Bengals. Boy, Chargers... They lose this, they're 6-6, yeah. And you know, the Chiefs win, then they're two games back, and you know.
Here's my question: there, who do you take? Both you guys, Burrow or Herbert?
Like where? Like the lunch or
to be your quarterback to go forward?
Oh, Herbert. I don't think it's even.
You don't
even
think
close.
It's close? You don't think so, huh?
Herbert would have been. People forget Herbert would have been the first pick in the draft had he come out after his junior season, and he got penalized. I've had scouts tell me he got penalized for going back, and people thought he didn't care enough about football. That he was just a nerdy guy who was kind of like Andrew Luck, who just, he would do it for a while and just move on with life.
This sounds crazy because we always talk about the Chargers having really good weapons. I'd like to see Herbert have those receivers to throw to.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase, good God. Right? Yeah. And even T. Higgins, you know, and Mixon's a hell of a run. I think maybe until I saw Chase and what he was going to, you know, I would have maybe picked the Chargers' skill position weapons at the beginning of the season. But, I mean, damn, remember that? Remember the debate about the Bengals? Do they pick the big offensive lineman or do they pick the wide receiver? And there's that meme that went out there. He looks like he's going to end up being the best receiver in football.
Yeah.
When he hits his peak.
And he was off to a huge start, a fast start in the first half. I think almost all his yards came in the first eight games. He's only had like 70 cents. They've shut him down. But Joe Mixon, what I like about the Bengals is that they're running the football a lot more now. Joe Mixon's gotten almost 30 carries.
924 yards and 11 touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. You talking about Mixon?
Yeah.
Yeah. And look at the last couple of games. He's had 32 carries and 29 carries. So they're starting to get more into let's be physical and let's
that's what I mean.
Get after it.
Yeah.
Let's pound it. And so, yeah, I think the Chargers, look, the Chargers are playing really bad run defense. And so seeing a guy who's carrying the ball that effectively, that often, is not a great recipe for them. Yeah. So until they can prove they can stop the run, I'll take the Bengals on that one.
Herbert's touchdown interception ratio over the past four games is 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
He's not playing great.
No.
Right. Is it because he's putting too much on himself because they can't stop anybody on defense? Or what's going on there?
Well, I think part of the problem is that they don't really have a great running game. And so it goes back to all these quarterbacks. And you've seen it with Patrick here, too. It's like if you don't balance it out and give them at least an element that can threaten people, sooner or later they're going to press and press and press and start turning the ball over. You've seen with Josh Allen now, they've gotten away from running the football there. You see what's happening with Dak Prescott with Zeke Elliott getting banged up and Tony Pollard's not as effective. They were running the ball for 150, 160 yards in the first 8 games of the season. They've been averaging like 84 since then. And so when you look at the guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, as much as we fawn over them and talk about their brilliance, look at what both those quarterbacks have going for them. They always are looking for good running backs. They're always looking for guys who can help them balance their offense out. As much crap as the Packers GM, Brian Gutekunst, has taken about his relationship with Aaron Rodgers, he gave Aaron Rodgers Aaron Jones, and he gave him A.J. Dillon, and it's paying off. And so that's what I see. I think you're seeing a young quarterback and Herbert trying to do a lot, being asked to do a lot. And when you do that, sometimes you're going to get bad results.
Herbert.
Yeah.
I've been just going back and forth. It's a good question. But now, I mean, I think maybe the difference maker is Herbert is more of a threat running the football as well, and Burrow's not.
Yeah, and not afraid to do it. I mean, he will put his head down and just go.
Yeah. That makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. It makes a huge difference. Even though Mahomes isn't known as a runner, how many times has that come up big for him, right?
It's third downs, you know.
And Herbert,
you need a first down.
And Herbert's got 250 yards rushing or so. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a threat. You have to account for that.
Yep.
And when things break down, he can make something happen. So, and I do think Burrow has better weapons around him. So I'd go with Herbert. Okay. Monday Night Football, Patriots and Bills.
Yeah.
If you had to put money right now on which team's going to win that division, who are you putting money on?
Patriots.
Okay.
Now, I will preface this by saying, I feel like the Bills are the better team, but I think the Patriots have more. They're the better coach team, and I have a lot of respect for Sean McDermott. So I think I say that with saying if Belichick's a 99 and McDermott's a 95, but the way they're playing right now and the way that they've come together, it's hard to bet against that kind of chemistry. Only thing that worries me about the Patriots is that they haven't beaten a team like the Bills yet.
And they have a rookie quarterback that could that could rear its ugly head at some point. He's going to have to win a game for him at some point.
Yeah, exactly. But I look at the way the Bills have been beaten this year. The Bills are like the Chargers and like the Raiders to a certain extent. They've clearly built themselves as a team to beat the Chiefs. And so if you're building yourself up like that, it's a lot more pass defense-oriented. It's pass rushers. It's cover guys, strong secondary, and they're not as stout as you need to be. So when those teams have gotten beat, especially Buffalo, when Buffalo's gotten beaten, it's they've been out-physicaled. People have just beaten them up. And so what do the Patriots do really well? They run the ball well. They got a big offensive line. They got a really good defense, probably the best defense in the league right now. I just feel like they're going to get beat up. The Bills are going to get beat up.
So you got the Chiefs winning.
Yeah.
You got the Bengals winning.
Yeah.
Who's the winning Monday Night Football?
New England. I'll take Patriots. Close game. Patriots 28-27.
And Michigan beats Iowa by how many?
I think it's a blowout.
Yeah, be bold. Come on, yeah. Say it.
I'm thinking.
You don't think there's any kind of hangover?
Nate's got no love for Iowa.
No.
You're preaching to the choir. Oh,
right?
Tell him.
What's his Iowa issue?
We don't have enough time on this show.
Okay.
It all started with Ricky Stanzi.
That's right. It all goes back to
that. I had the audacity to watch practice one day at training camp and said that Ricky Stanzi looks terrible. He just keeps throwing interceptions.
Oh, you did get attacked that day. It was LOL.
And some Iowa fans came after me. So you've always hated Iowa.
That's exactly right. Not that I'm here to say yes. And so how many?
I'll take him 35-17.
Big.
Bam.
There it is. Big. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Thank you for the time. I'll see you Sunday night.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That's right. Yeah. I've been waiting all week for Sunday night on Sports Radio 810 WHB.